chapter number 11. And if you need a Bible, there's probably should be one right in the center of your pew. And if you'd like to follow along with us, and if you're getting familiar with your Bible, the book of Luke is up in the New Testament. And so if you'll find that towards the middle to end of the book, Luke chapter number 11. And we'll read several verses together here in just a moment. But before we do, Miss Elizabeth's going to sing a special for us.
It's a sanctuary, a place of strength and calm, a haven from the storms of life when all hope seems gone. It's a tabernacle, a place that stays the same, though life may change. I need the church. I need the church. The special place where God meets with His children. The place where hurt is healed and hearts made whole. Where burdens shared are lifted and our spirits fed. We need the church. We need the church. The Lord for all the victories won, a place of safety. The bond of love that's there can't be explained. I need the church. I need the church. The special place where God meets with His children. The place where
was good. Thank you so much for that good song. Luke chapter number 11 in your Bibles, and we'll read several verses. We were in Luke chapter number 11 this morning, and we looked at the first four verses, and we dealt with purposeful praying, and we looked at Jesus's model prayer for us to pray. Not that we should vainly repeat that prayer, but that it's a model of how we should enter into the throne room of God. And tonight we'll look at the continual verses here, and we'll start reading in verse number 5, and we'll read down through verse number 13 and give you another thought concerning this manner of prayer tonight. The Bible says in this, verse number 5, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall pray unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? From these verses, obviously your Bible is like my Bible, where it is letters of red. That is Jesus speaking. He is telling a parable here. We're going to look at this parable, but then he breaks it very clearly down for us of what we should do in our praying. And I want to preach tonight for a few moments on persistent praying. Persistent praying. We must be a people of prayer. We established that this morning. But I believe God wants us to be more than just ones that pray occasionally. He wants us to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking until the answer comes. And God will answer our prayer in one of two or three ways, but he wants us to keep on asking, keep on praying, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. So we'll look tonight for a few moments at that thought, persistent praying. Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. And God, I thank you again for how you spoke to my heart through this chapter, Lord, this week. Lord, as we studied and prepared for this day. And God, as you directed us to pray, to preach on praying, Lord, both messages. And God, I believe that's a call to action for your people to be a people of prayer. God, help us, Lord, to not take for granted this access and the avenues that we have to be able to enter into the throne room of God and be able to make our requests known unto you. Lord, thank you for the price that was paid to give us that ability to talk to you as our Heavenly Father. And God, may we not take that for granted, Lord, in our life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seize that opportunity to talk to you every single day. And God, make our requests known unto you. And God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be a people of prayer. Help us to be a people, Lord, that will persistently pray for the needs that are on our heart. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us today. Would you please bless tonight? Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. I yield myself to you and ask that you would please preach through me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer is not something that we simply do before we eat. It's not something that we do before we go to bed and close our eyes. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It's not something that we do routinely to open up a church service. I don't pray as I do before a message like I just did just for routine's sake and because it's the flow of the message. I pray because I truly need God to help me as I pray. Prayer is truly the avenue. It is the way by which man communicates with God. And as I said this morning, it was a great price that was paid on the cross of Calvary to give each and every one of us that access to the throne room of God and to talk to our Heavenly Father. And may we never take for granted that we can go into the throne room. The Bible says that we can obtain mercy and we can go in boldly into the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And I'm thankful for the access that we have as a born-again child of God. Yet many Christians pray casually instead of continually. As I said this morning, many treat it as if it's a spare tire on their car, something that they use in emergency situations. When crises comes in their life, then, okay, I'll go to the Lord in prayer, instead of it being something that is a daily, continual thing in their life. God's not interested in us just using him when we need him. He wants to have fellowship with his children every single day. And that's the way we ought to pray. We ought to pray patiently. We ought to pray earnestly. We ought to not pray faintly, pray fervently. And in Luke chapter number 11, Jesus here in the four verses, he is teaching his disciples the model prayer. And again, not a prayer that should be vainly repeated, but it is a prayer that we ought to follow, how to enter into the throne room of God. And then as he finishes teaching them, verses 1 down through verse number 4, he immediately goes into a parable and he's teaching them of how to pray, to earnestly pray, not just pray one time for the request, but to continue day in and day out, earnestly seek his will for our life. And so tonight I want to just look at these verses and give you a few thoughts concerning persistent praying. First of all, I want you to see the picture of persistent praying. The picture of persistent praying. Look at verse number 5, if you would, again. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needed. We see the request presented here in verses 5 and 6. There's a man that had nothing to give his guest. The guest had come to his house at midnight. There is obviously an urgency here. I don't know why he showed up at midnight. Maybe he was supposed to be there for supper and he was late. I don't know. I'm just drawing a conclusion here. But he was late. He showed up at midnight. I don't know what you do at midnight, but I'm normally asleep. All right? I'm normally in the bed, zonked out, and you would have to do as this man did, keep knocking and ringing the doorbell to try to get me to wake up because I'm asleep. This man, he had a guest come to his house, and he had nothing to feed them. He's a good Baptist. He wants to eat late, apparently, at midnight. He says, they're here. They're on a journey. They need some food, and I have nothing in the cupboard to give them. And so he goes to his neighbor, and he knocks at the door, and the neighbor comes to the door. Now, imagine if that's you coming to the door after being awoken from your sleep at midnight. Now, several hours probably into your sleep, and you would probably respond just like this neighbor responded. I have nothing. The door is locked. The kids are in the bed. Go on. And that's what he responded. He says, I have nothing to give you. The request presented here, though, I can see myself not in the neighbor, but in the man that has a need. You know, because he couldn't provide for himself. And when we stand in prayer to God Almighty, we are recognizing, we are agreeing with God. God, I cannot do for what I need on my own. God, I need your help. I can't be the daddy that I'm supposed to be. I can't be the husband that I'm supposed to be. I can't be the pastor, the employer, whatever the case may be. I can't be on my own. God, I need supernatural help. I need you to help me in my time of need. This man had a need in his life. He goes to the one that had the resources. He goes to his neighbor and he requests those things that he needed, that bread that he needed. But then notice the refusal. Verse number 7 again, it says, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. It seemed from that response that the answer was no, doesn't it? No. I'm not giving you any bread. Didn't say that he didn't have any bread. Just says, I'm not giving you any bread. It's not a good opportunity. It's not a good time. But notice what the one that was doing the asking did. He did not quit. He kept on asking. And sometimes when we pray, it feels as if heaven is silent, doesn't it? It feels as if God's not home. It feels as if the lights are shut off. It feels as if the resources that we know God has are not available. But delays are not always denials. God could be testing our earnestness, our importunity, if you will, and our persistence in our praying. And this man, he didn't stop. And his friend said, I can't come, I can't give you anything, the lights are off, the door is closed, my children are asleep, I cannot arise and give thee. But then notice the reward in verse number 8. It says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, notice this, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. That word importunity, it means shameless persistence. That man kept knocking. And he kept knocking, and he kept knocking until the man's door was open. And the neighbor said, I'm not giving you this bread because we're friends. We're not friends at midnight. I'm giving you this bread because you won't stop knocking on my door. Do you see the picture? Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus is trying to present a picture to his disciples and said, I'm teaching you how to pray here. Okay, here's a man that just keeps asking and keeps asking and keeps knocking, and he won't give up until he gets what he needs in his life. If persistence worked with a reluctant man, the neighbor. How much more would it work with a willing Heavenly Father? God does not give us what we need because we wear Him down, okay? But because persistence proves we truly believe He is the one to which we need our supply, He can't help when His child keeps knocking and keeps asking and keeps seeking. He can't help but open the windows of heaven and meet our need. The great man of prayer, George Mueller, he cared for thousands of orphans. And if you've never read any on George Mueller, I encourage you to do so. But it said that he was a man of prayer, a man of persistent prayer. And it said that he prayed for five men, individual men, persistently for their salvation. And he prayed for their salvation. And what I read, though, is that after 5 years of praying, the first man got saved. And praise the Lord for that. Four others remain. Then after 10 years, the second man gets saved. And then after 25 years of praying, the third man gets saved. And then it said after 50 years of praying, the fourth man gets saved. And then after his death, that fifth man gets saved. Friend, that's persistent praying. Best way that I can illustrate this in my own mind, it's a silly illustration, but it rings true, is our dog Coco. We got a chocolate lab, and Coco is a sweet girl, I think. Miss Leah may think otherwise. But she is a sweet girl, and Coco has one of those dogs around the yard and stuff, and she has a boundary that she can't go past, otherwise it lets her know she needs to get closer back to the house. And we'll let Coco outside. She'll roam outside, and she loves being outside unless there's something going on inside. And if there's eating going on, or if we're just in the living room hanging out, she wants to be around us. And so what does she do? She goes, we have three different exterior doors. She'll go to the front door, and she'll start her whining. And her whining. And her whining. And if we don't respond to her, then she goes around to the side back door, and she'll start her whining. And her whining. And then if we don't respond from that door, she goes to the other door. And she keeps whining and keeps whining to the point that she finally wears us down. And what do? We let her in. And as I was writing this message, sitting on the couch, typing, literally she's over here whining to be let in. And I said, there's the illustration. Persistent. She wore me down to the point that I got up off of the couch, went to the door, and I let her in because she was persistent. You see the picture tonight? The Lord Jesus wants us as His people to be persistent in our praying. Not just have a need in our life and then we pray one time and, well, the answer didn't come, so I guess that's my answer. No. He wants us to keep going and keep going and keep asking and keep seeking. So we see the picture. But quickly, number two, I want you to notice the principle of persistent praying. Look at verse number 9, if you would. Jesus continues on. He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Jesus now moves from the parable to a principle that He wants us to know. And it's a call to action here. In verse number 9, He says, ask, seek, and knock. Asking is requesting with our lips. Seeking is pursuing with our life. And otherwise, okay, Lord, I've prayed, but now by faith I'm going to trust You to meet that need. And then knocking is persistently praying until the door opens. Each of these verbs, it's an action here that God wants us to do. Each of these verbs are in the present sense, asking and knocking, seeking. What does that mean? It means He wants us to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. Too often we pray once and we quit. We ask one time, and when nothing happens, we stop. But Jesus said, keep praying, and the answer will come. Keep pressing and keep persistently asking. And so there's a call to action, but then there is a promise here. In verse number 10, He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Listen, this is not a possibility. This is a promise from the Word of God. God will answer our prayer. We have that promise from Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. That's a promise from the Word of God. He may not give us what we want, but He always gives us what is best in our life. Amen? Sometimes our prayers is not God's will for our life. When we pray, we're not twisting God's arm. Instead, when we pray, we are aligning our hearts and our will with His will and His heart for our life. Amen. That is persistent praying. The certainty is not in our asking, but it's rather in the character of our God. When I was 3 years old, my uncle, I call him Tata. His name is Tommy, and my uncle, Tata, he, at 3 years old, he collects case knives, and he has forever. Whenever I was 3 years old, he bought me my first case knife, and obviously, as a three-year-old, it was not a very good idea for me to have a case knife. And so what happened? My parents took that from me and held on to it. And as I grew up, about 7, 8, 9 years old, as I started to, you know, have responsibility and prove myself as a young 8-year-old kid, it was time maybe to give me a knife. And so they gave me that case knife that Tata had given me, a very nice case knife, and I've got that even to this day. And if you were to go to my office tonight, you'll find plenty of case knives and other knives in there. I've started collecting them of my own. It wasn't that the knife itself was bad, okay? It was the timing was wrong. It wasn't that my parents didn't want me to have the knife. It was a gift from my uncle. We will give you the knife, but it wasn't a very good idea for me to have it at 3 years old. And the same is true for what God, when we pray in our life, when we pray for something, God, would you give me that job? God, would you help me to pay off that debt? God, would you heal me of this disease? It's not that God may not want to do that for you. He probably does want to do it. But the timing may not be His timing. And so what do? We pray and God doesn't answer it, so, okay, I stop praying. I've been guilty of that. We pray one time, we may even pray for a month or even a year. And we come to the Lord and we pray, and the answer just doesn't seem to come. And so what do? We give up. We give up on praying, we give up on begging, we give up on asking, whenever the answer could just be nigh the door. This man in this story, he was persistent in his praying, and God delays sometimes, not because He denies our prayer, but because He knows that the time is not right. And so He says to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, and it shall be open. And so we see the picture of persistent praying. We see the principle of persistent praying. But lastly tonight, I want you to see the promise of persistent praying. In verse number 11, it says this: if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give a fish? Did I say that wrong? Hold on. If a son will ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Jesus uses the example of earthly fathers here. And He says, let's see, He just breaks it down very common sense. He says, if your son comes to you and he asks for bread, are you going to mock him and give him a rock? If he comes to you and he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a snake instead? Or if he comes to you and asks for an egg, are you going to trick him and give him a scorpion? The answer is no. What are you going to do? You're going to do all that you can in your earthly ability to provide for the need of your child. You're going to work harder. You're going to save more money. You're going to make sure that you provide the needs that your family has. And then he says, if ye then being evil, if you being in the flesh know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more does your heavenly Father know how to give that which is to you? It's a blessing to know that He does not want to withhold the needs that we have in our life. He doesn't want to withhold those from us. He wants to be good to us. He is our Heavenly Father, our gracious Heavenly Father. It saved us, and He's promised us a home in heaven, and He doesn't just want us our lives to be miserable here on earth. No, no, no. He wants us to enjoy all that He has to offer, the victorious Christian life, if you will. And when we persist in prayer, we receive His promise. You see that in verse number 13. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your Father, which your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know, the greatest thing that He gives us is His presence. God says, I may not be able to give you what you're asking for right now. He says, but I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you. I'll comfort you. See, God's not reluctant. He is ready. He is able. He is willing and able to answer our need. But sometimes we just stop asking. We just stop asking. Prayer is the child of God's bold knocking at the Father's door. He teaches us in this passage of Scripture that we ought to be persistent prayers. Not just go to Him once. Sometimes we go once and the answer comes, and we praise the Lord for that. That's our faith. But you know what builds your faith as well? When you ask for something over and over and over again, you feel like the answer never comes, and all of a sudden, the answer comes. And you're like, man, God had to do that. It was God that did that. We ought to pray with dependence, realizing that we cannot, but God can. You see, this man in this parable, he had a need in his life. He realized, hey, it's midnight, the stores are closed, I can't go buy nothing. Neighbor, I'm going to need you to come through for me. That's how we ought to pray to God. God, I can't do this on my own. As long as you think you can meet your needs, God will let you. As long as you think that you can figure it out on your own and you don't go to God in prayer, He will let you figure it out. But when we go to Him and we depend solely upon Him, we pray with dependence, we pray with diligence in our asking and our seeking and our knocking, and we pray without ceasing as the Bible commands us, then we can pray with confidence, trusting the heart of our Heavenly Father that He knows what's best, and He'll give you the case knife, if you will, when it's the right time. The Bible says in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if you faint not. And so let me ask you tonight, church, is there something on your heart? Maybe you've prayed about something for a long time, and you kind of are done praying about it. Maybe you've even set it aside. There's some things on my prayer list that have been on there for quite a long time. Some of those impossible prayer requests I mentioned this morning that I haven't seen come through yet. And to be honest with you, I'm praying them, and it's like, man, this ain't never going to happen. Or it'd be awesome if you did. If this did happen, it'd be pretty awesome. But it hasn't happened yet. And sometimes, I just want to kind of stop praying. But the Lord convicted my heart this week and said, keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And when it's the right time, He always answers His children. A promise. It's not a possibility. God may. No, He will. It may be yes. It may be no. It may be maybe. But ultimately what you're praying is, God, would you align my heart and my will with your will? See, I don't want something in my life that I may think is good for my life, but God says that would be good for you. I want God's will for my life. And so let's begin to pray persistently, church. Let's be a people that, you hear that squeaky wheel, what do? You give it some grease. You hear Coco whining at the door, what do? You let her in. And I believe if God hears His children at First Baptist Church keep asking and seeking and knocking, He's eventually going to open the door and provide what you've been asking Him for. With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank you for listening tonight. Persistent praying. Very practical truth. We talked about purposed praying this morning, how we should enter into the throne room of God. But tonight we're looking at persistent praying. Not that we should just pray once. The answer may not come after once. But Jesus himself, that's his words, told his disciples, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And in his right time, God will answer. So I guess the challenge for you tonight is, get back in the prayer closet. Get back out the prayer list. Maybe you kind of let some dust settle on it and you haven't prayed as you should have. I encourage you to maybe ask the Lord to search your heart and recommit this week. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray not just for my prayer list, but I'm going to pray earnestly, persistently, as the Lord wants me to. Our Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. God, thank you for how you spoke to my heart this week concerning prayer. God, we must be a people of prayer. God, we must. Our nation needs Christians to pray. God, to be honest with you, our church must be filled. You said your house is a house of prayer. God, we need to be praying people. God, we're naive to think that we can come into this place and we can sing and we can preach and we can serve without first going to you and asking for you to be with us and to help us and to guide us. And so, God, may we never take for granted the privilege that we have to pray. God, I pray that you'd help each and every person, Lord, here. Help them to develop a prayer life. Lord, if there's some here that, Lord, have kind of set aside a prayer request that they've prayed for some time and the answer just seemed like it's not come, Lord, I pray that they'd start praying it again. Because the answer may be just right around the corner. Help us to be persistent in our praying, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The invitation song will begin to play.